Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I am one of the diners that regularly comes to the cafe. Love to nosh on all the new things that are happening. We really take a lot of all the different things that are happening in the world and give it a light perspective, be it through just looking at it in a fun and humorous way if possible, or just really coming from a spiritual perspective. And we have Miss Gloria in the house. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Hello, hello, hello. Gloria's in the house.
There she is. Hey, Miss Gloria. Well, we're just wanting to, there's going to be some different events coming up in the near future. And Gloria, can you go ahead and tell us about the, is it a conference or workshop or how are they labeling this event?
Which one are you talking about?
With the leaders.
Oh, I believe that it's called a conference.
Okay.
And you're going to have to drag information out of me because I don't really know all that much about it.
Okay, what's the title of the conference? Leaders?
Yeah, it's called Leaders Causing Leaders.
Leaders Causing Leaders.
And the website that he has set up is based on a blog space, from
mm-hmm.
what I could tell. And I know that they have developed it extensively, and they have quite a number of people that are going to be not only on panels, but also presenting different workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a forum for networking for people who want to create more leadership in the world. And we had Al Diaz on the show a while back, and from what I understand, he's going to be on one of the panels.
Yeah, you were telling me about that too. And this is going to happen in Long Beach.
It is happening in Long Beach, and it's in November. It's the first part of November.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it's the weekend of the 10th.
Weekend of the 10th, okay.
Through the 12th.
Okay.
And
I'm sure if you put in Leaders Causing Leaders, they have a Facebook page. So you can take a look at that on the Facebook and be able to do that. And I think one of the things I really like about the program is Carolyn Kaufman is wonderful. She's one of the helping to get that organized. And she's also doing a lot of things where Leaders Causing Leaders, they're really wanting to come from a youth perspective and helping our young people to recognize their inner abilities to self-lead and then being able to take that into the world and making it just a real positive thing. So Gloria is actually going to be one of the speakers at this event. Now,
well,
do you know what day you're going to be able to speak?
I'm not going to be a speaker. I'm going to be presenting my project for people that are interested in assisting people with projects to see if there's anybody who might be interested in supporting me in my process. And they have an aspect that also allows somebody to provide a workshop as well. Mm-hmm. And so I still am looking at that to find out, you know, what needs to be done to make that happen for me.
Okay, and that's actually something that's, is it just going to be on Sunday that they're having this, or is it something they'll be doing kind of throughout the seminar weekend?
Well, the whole weekend lasts for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then people are presenting Saturday and Sunday, and they have it blocked off between morning and afternoon time, so they've divided it accordingly.
Yeah, if you go Go ahead.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to be presenting at this point, so I really haven't received any feedback. The people, from what I understand, one of the persons who had developed Bhakti Fest has just hit the ground running with this project, and is moving mountains to make it happen. And every time I have gone back onto the site, there's more people that are, you know, I don't know if they're volunteering. I don't quite know, you know, how they're participating, but there are just so many people who are giving their services to be able to assist those people who want to create more leadership in the world. And it's very impressive.
Yeah, well, if you go to their website, which I'm looking at right now, which is leaderscausingleaders.com, it says anyone can inspire the world, and it's Leadership 2010. And they're talking about youth and teen programs and events for change. It's just really exciting, live concerts, things like that they're going to be doing. One of the upcoming events they have with that is Dr. Andrew Thorne with WSRadio.interviews. Has all these different people that are basically going to be getting interviewed and things like that you can participate in, things like that. So they have all these challenges and things like that of really helping people to look at the fact that, you know, we all are making a difference, which is just such an awesome thing. So there's a quote from Gandhi, "The future depends on what we can do in the present." And isn't that true? It's all about being in the now. And it's one of the wonderful things about the internet. I mean, think of the amount of what it takes to just get every individual recognizing whatever level they can make a difference and having it be out in the world so quickly. You know, it's just awesome. It's so awesome. So, again, Gloria was talking about how she has a passion with her project that she's basically, asking people to come forward who want to be sharing their different projects. And now, what are they asking with in presenting that? And basically, if you get accepted, what kind of assistance will they be giving you with that?
Well, all I know is from what the website states, and
okay,
they have from what I understand, it's the ones that are presented in the morning hours are, I don't know if they have a group of people that are already in business, or if it's people that are attending, if it's like an open forum where you just present and people can wander in and out of the room. I really don't know how they've designed it for the general presentation, but they have one that when you present the workshop, that you have a possibility of getting a year's worth of mentorship. You know, a commitment from people for a year to support you in your process. So it's going to be about how well we sell our vision. It's a sales pitch.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm actually there. When you go up to the event itself at that leadership shift, 2010, they're listing some of the people that are going to be involved with it. And we've got Stephen Covey, Byron Katie, Richard Condon, and it just goes on and on and on with different people that are known. And Al Diaz is in there. Yay, Mr. Al Diaz. And Carolyn's also in there, too, with just all the different names of people who are participating. So Mark Victor Hansen's going to be there, Robin Duncan, Debbie Robbins. Like I said, the name, there must be at least 100 people. They said over 100 people. It's just really exciting to see something like that. And the fact that we'll be having it just real here in the in the Long Beach Convention Center, it's going to be November 6th and 7th, actually. They're saying that the later shift will be November 6th and 7th, Saturday from 9 to midnight, and then Sunday from 9 to 5, and at the Long Beach Convention Center. So it's giving you options for hotel and speakers and things like that. There's going to be 2 days of keynotes, workshop panels, and entertainment. So, wow, to be living in the Southern California area and have this kind of access to something is just very exciting. Very exciting to see that we're going to be able to have things like that happening. So,
it is. Yeah. And just of many.
Yeah, I think it will be. To have such, all these people coming together for something like that is going to be very wonderful. So some of the workshops they're going to have is conscious money, energy, technology, human rights, health, women's leadership, relationships, women in sustainable business, leaders from birth, education, environment, politics and business, social entrepreneurs, and also the open collaborations, and then the 15 workshops. So it's like, wow, it's just such a very, very neat thing. So if you get a chance to go up there, it's leaderscausingleaders.com, and they have places where you can go ahead and get your tickets. They have some of the events and things like that having on there, and they've done a really great job with need-to-knows and things like that. So it's just very, very cool. This kind of reminds me of a couple of years ago we got involved with water, blessings for water that we had in Long Beach. So there you go. Long Beach is just a little hub. There we go.
It really is. It's very busy.
It seems to be. It's a very spiritual hub for people to get together and just have these wonderful things going out all over the planet. It's pretty awesome. So I think that we're all involved in that.
I have a friend who is very active in the Long Beach community, and just based upon my interaction with her, I've known her for at least 18 years, and she's so busy and so connected, and some of the things that she would tell me about that are going on, and then they offer so much to the small business person. Mm-hmm. And they have got such a community support going on. It's wonderful. I mean, I think it was the Red Cross. Oh, I think it was the Women's Chamber of Commerce or the branch of the women within the Chamber of Commerce. And they put on a program to certify people to become facilitators.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what that city offers to the populace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. It really is. I'm looking through all the different panel breakdowns. They've done a really great job. Actually, I had a photo and then the names of all the people that are so far that are going to be different speakers and different for different presenters and things like that to really get a sense of who's there on a different level when you get to see their faces, or they've got the covers of their books and things like that they're going to be promoting too. So it's just very exciting. I know that's one thing they were saying is that there's so many people who want to be presenting that it was a challenge on giving people a certain amount of time to be able to actually do their stuff. So this turned into a kind of a TED.com. You got like 12 minutes. to do what you're going to do, and then we're moving on, okay? Which I think is really cool.
They're probably going to have to look at stage sharing time.
Yeah, because I know Carolyn Kaufman, a friend of ours, she has really taken this thing on a level for just really supporting it and being on it. And they also, our wonderful friend Kathy Elliott has been helping Carolyn too. So we're all back there behind the scenes doing different stuff. And I've been encouraged to go and help just kind of assist in the background. So I'm planning on being there. Just kind of help wherever you need to, because they're definitely always looking for volunteers for people to come and just be making a difference with stuff. So,
I totally
planning on being there for that.
Because I know how much work it is. I said I totally appreciate you for supporting, because I know how much work it is when volunteering.
Yeah. Well, to me it's just fun. I mean, what an opportunity to meet all these wonderful, dynamic people, and it's always fun to be behind the scenes, but not necessarily on the stage. That's okay. It's first going to guide you to the people and the programs and things that you need to. So just real quick, I'm going to list a couple people here. Carolyn Kaufman, again, she's a friend of ours, that she's the founder of Children of Today, an organization that aims at enhancing social acceptance and the awareness of new generations. Additionally, Carolyn will be part of the creators and things like that. And like I said, she's definitely one somebody who's behind the scenes. And our friend Raul Rosiles. He's the founder of Soul-Based Living, and Raul is doing a realization for the four-year-old children, everything behind Dazzling Brighter and a voice that's basically done. And Raul's been working on Soul-Based Living since I've known him, and it's been a pleasure for over about 10 years. So it's one of those things where people come in and out of your life, and you're like, oh, look at that. What are they doing now? And Mr. Al Diaz is on here, too, which is exciting. And Al's just a wonderful personality anyway. Great interviewer. He's on his third book, he has the Titus Concepts and Confirmations and loves to do stuff with radio, having a lot of different personalities to help people to get a little more exposure of just very forward-thinking people. So that's just very, very cool. They will be having Byron Katie on there, too. And are you familiar with Byron Katie, Gloria?
Me, no.
Gloria?
I said me, no.
Me, no, Gloria?
Me, question mark, no, period.
Oh, me, no? Okay, there we go. Byron, it says her work is in a way of identifying and questioning the thoughts that cause all the fear of suffering in the world, experiencing happiness by undoing the questions. Yeah, she was, I got introduced to her, I think about 10 years ago, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, and it was interesting. When she was, I think, 49, she had a mental breakdown, and basically through a series of events, she wound up coming to this four questionings that she basically for a couple of years really just challenged herself about looking at reality. And the questions are, is it true? Do I really know that it's true? Who would I be without that thought? And then they do turn it around and look at yourself within that question and how it really affects you for you. You know, instead of thinking it's that other person, you know, how is that me? And I personally did that for, well, I still do it on a certain level, but for a while I was very dedicated to the practice of really doing the turnaround and looking at everything from a perspective of, like, not pointing a finger at someone else, but pointing it to myself. It's kind of the Ho'oponopono. Are you familiar with that? Gloria, are you familiar with Ho'oponopono?
I'm sorry, what?
Ho'oponopono?
I think I heard it through somebody I know, but not through Byron Katie.
Okay. Well, but it's not really related to Byron, but it reminds me of Byron because it's a matter of Ho'oponopono is looking from the aspects of self-forgiveness and looking at everything from the fact that, you know, it's something that you're interacting with, so it's just a part of your consciousness and the way you're looking at it, and if you come from the place of realization of what that is to yourself, you're able to shift and change it. And it's a very, comes from a very traditional Hawaiian practice of helping you to resolve conflicts. And you would be asked to do that with another person. Normally in Ho'oponopono, where there might be relationship conflicts, you seek to look from the other person's perspective and then how that relates to yourself, and then go from a place of forgiveness. So
Sounds like a marriage counseling training I took.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, you know, especially if you can come from that whole thing of, like, what's the common denominator? It's me. Especially when you're not tongue tied, you can actually say it.
The common denominator is what?
Is me. It's always yourself. You know how that goes. Yeah, yeah. Being able to look at that
I'm
and
having
have a change.
I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Okay.
And so for some reason, so if I ask again, it's because I didn't quite catch the words.
Yeah, no worries. And, you know, we have been having thunderstorms in the Southern California area. Gloria's more in the San Diego area, and I'm up in the Riverside area. So we're definitely having a certain level of cloud cover. I'm sure that's affecting our the quality of our program tonight, but that's okay. We're both happy about the whole, you know, rain and all that stuff. It's been one of those things where the thunderstorms have been coming through and kind of rattling our environment, stuff like that. So, and Gloria, it was cute because what? How long ago was that other storm that we had, Gloria?
It's been a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, she was. We had been visiting one another with Kathy, and she had been listening to a CD that had a bunch of thunderstorms sounds on it. Right? It was rain and thunderstorms?
Right.
Yeah. And then she went home and she goes, I'm making it rain. Look what I did. And we went, oh, okay, you're the one who did all this. Okay, well, thanks. Because we actually needed the rain. We're kind of happy about that. At least I am.
I didn't take credit for it initially.
Oh, I know. I think it was me giving you the credit. How about that? And that's awesome.
You were giving me credit.
I know.
I
said, oh, well, thanks. Thanks for the rain. That was good of you. Okay, we're happy about that.
My intention went out to the universe and permeated into the ethers.
Yeah, exactly. So that's very cool. Oh, okay. So I'm making myself a cup of tea. So here we go. So Well, this one's chamomile mint with green.
Are we at a tea house tonight?
Yes, we are. We're at a tea house, and they have marvelous desserts. And I think I'm going to get myself a scoop of coconut ice cream.
You know, Long Beach also has great tea houses.
You know, I need to spend, you know, we have our mutual friend Kathy Elliott who lives there, and we just haven't spent that much time. Usually we go to, meet up and then we go someplace else. We don't really stay in Long Beach. Because somewhere else, I'm like, that's okay. Because last time we went to Orange County and we were hanging out in Orange County, which was fun. But, you know, I have to find out a little bit more about Long Beach, that's for sure. Although they have the area around the main convention center they have over there. It's got lots of shopping and just all kinds of wonderful activities and stuff like that. And is it, do they call the area like Old Town that's over there?
For Long Beach?
That, yeah, for Long Beach they have that, that older and really area. It's just very, very charming. It's like older town. It's older village. It's like an older village area of Long Beach that they have.
I would say that it's more called historic.
Historic Long Beach. There we go. Yeah. So
I
it's the typical little stores and, you know, good luck in parking and, you know.
Right.
But they have it all down there and all the little shops and things like that. So that's very fun. Very, very fun.
Well, I was referring to the historic area with all of the homes.
Mm-hmm.
The area that you have between Long Beach and Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small area that has a whole bunch of shops. Is that where you're referring to?
Uh-huh.
That has its own name, and it's one of those ones where it's kind of like when you ask what's 2 + 2, and you're going, I know the answer. And it's the same way for me with the name.
Is it Pico? No, it's not Pico.
No. It's related somehow. I always want to call it Venice, and it's not.
Right, and we actually had done that where we went to Venice, like about a month ago. For the first time, I'd never gone to Venice.
Naples.
And people say, "Oh,
it's called,
Naples. There you go.
Naples.
Yeah. So
we've
got Venice, the Venice canals up in, you know, Venice Beach area, and then we have Naples, which is another area where they have canals and things like that for people with their boats and things like that. They can take it out and then basically either go through the canals or work their way up into the ocean. And I've heard it's just marvelous to go there at Christmas time.
It is.
Go and walk, and they actually have the boat, light parades and things like that, and everybody on the canal area in Naples decorates their houses, so it's just very festive and a fun place to go. So there you go. So you go to your little tea house, you get to get all nice and warm, and then you go out and walk around and look at all the Christmas lights. That just sounds like just a nice day.
They have also, in that area, they have a car show where they block off the entire road, and they just have people that can walk. They have booths that are towards the median on both sides of each of the road. They put, the median is created by the shops, and then they have cars. Historic cars that are up and down the area, and they have everything from drag cars to antique cars, and then they also have the Grand Prix in downtown Long Beach down near the aquarium. Every year they have the Grand Prix that goes on there too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that where you've actually watched the Grand Prix?
I have not been to the Grand Prix. I've gone to the car show and worked. I was volunteering with the Long Beach Symphony. And went down and worked within the car show. And then they also have different other events that happen in that strip. So just working with that is how I got exposed to it. But I haven't done the Grand Prix.
And Kathy was sharing a story with me once where before her husband had passed away, they had the people in that local area, depending on where they are, with being able to see parts of the different course of the Grand Prix, will rent out window space from their apartment. So depending if you want to be in the window space, you can go hang out at these people's houses. They have like lawn chairs or whatever, and have a certain amount of people per window. So she actually did that 1 year. Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm here for my window.
Well, you
so
know,
something
it's
we'd be
running.
Doing in California. You know, you're running it for a few hours and one day out of the whole year.
It's almost like renting a box at the opera.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it's like. Yeah. So she said it was just kind of interesting to have all these people hanging out at certain windows so they could watch the Grand Prix. So just very, very interesting. But she said they had really it was fun to watch it from that perspective. You know, instead of being in the stands or whatever, to be up above, you know, from the building and stuff like that, because you get to see that. So it's very cool. I have not personally seen it either, but I always seem to be down there right before or after, you know, whether they've got it all blocked off and you know, because it's really quite the to-do to get that thing set up. So I'm sure it's 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, probably even longer than that, maybe a month ahead of time. They're already starting to work to get a lot of it, you know, barricaded down and stuff like that so they can have it prepared for the trips if they're going to do on stuff. So that's pretty fun. When is that anyway? When is the Long Beach Grand Prix? I want to say it's in the spring.
I thought that it was, I like I said, I've never been, but I thought that it was closer to September.
Oh, really? We might, yeah, we've
like
August, just, I don't remember August, just having it come up, though. Yeah.
August, September.
We could check with our waiter here and see how that's kind of going on, so. Long Beach Grand Prix. So what else have you been looking at this week that's very interesting?
You know, I have been so focused on writing my book at the moment that
mm-hmm.
I really haven't been looking at anything. I have planted myself and made myself focus
mm-hmm.
because I really want to knock this out by the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So... Because I have to prepare I have to finish my preparations for the convention that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I really haven't been out in the boot.
I guess they're saying that tickets are okay. Oh, they're already they've already had the one for 2010. So it's just happened on that one.
Did
so,
it say what month? And also Long Beach has the women's conference that Maria Shriver holds. Or host.
See, Long Beach is just the place to go. There we go.
Yeah, as long as you've got places for parking.
Yeah,
That's the only downside is that, you know, parking is always at a premium. And
uh-huh.
within the last, I think, 5 years, the city went through and red marked every corner and really bumped it back. And so there's even less parking. And so you know, I love Long Beach, but I swear that they did it so that they could increase their revenue based on applying tickets.
Yeah. It's interesting. They're showing results, but it's like somebody scanned the results and then they just have it on the side here. That's kind of interesting.
They have that
like,
on the side.
So I have to, like, tilt my head and try to read it because they've got it, like, landscape the way they
What are you reading?
Oh, it was April 16th through the 18th. So it was April. Yeah, so it was in April. It was spring. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So right around tax time. There we go.
One of those diversions to make you
taxes,
feel better.
Yeah.
We're having a war.
You know,
let's watch a movie.
Inquiring minds want to know, and I guess I that's one of them for me. So there we go. So, I'm just very impressed with this whole, this Leaders 2010. I didn't realize how the leader shift, what that was all about. I'd been seeing some stuff on Facebook about it just because we've got friends participating, but I didn't really realize what level they had been really working at getting this thing going. I'd heard they had gotten a few names, so that's exciting.
Right. When I first looked at it back in February or March when they first started advertising for it,
mm-hmm.
The website that they had, he had, I think, 4 speakers that were not guaranteed yet. It's like, we're talking to these people, and, you know, the speakers are yet to be determined.
You're like, okay.
So he's been very busy.
Yeah, I bet. Well, that would have been, imagine just putting this together and finding all these, you know, just amazing people, you know. Because, I mean, they're just so diverse. Some people are very much coming from, we have, like, a guy that's going to be representing noetic sciences. We've got a guy in here, and then Nusara Yoga. A lot of people that are creating these amazing different things. And this other lady, her name's Namas. Actually, I guess it's a guy. Namas Hernema, a lifelong exploration into the geometries of space and time. It has the results of exciting comprehension of the unification theory based on the new resolutions. Oh, my God. That's enough for a seminar by itself. So just exciting stuff here. A lot of all these different things that people are going to be out there doing.
If you throw some physics in with it, I'm there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, of course. I don't think you can have geometries without physics. You know, you could, but I hear what you're saying. It's like maybe not. No,
we could be.
We're going to have a youth speak poetry slam competition. So we're going to have poetry competitions.
How would you judge that?
It seems like you'd be kind of,
with the sacred geometry? We could be doing anything.
No. This is something different. There's another girl. Her name's Millie Williams, and she's...
I'm still back on the other guy.
Oh, okay. I'm still looking at different people here. But Millie Williams competed in the Youth Poetry Slam competition in 2009, which... students lead the art movement where each student writes a poem and performs for 5 judges. So she participated in that. Wow. So there you go. Just different kinds of stuff. So it's exciting to see so many people just really bringing forth their passions and talking about it. There's this other one, lady's name, Penelope Toribio. She's a popular performer for Southern California. And she's got puppets that she does out of Claremont in the summer concert series. And it's you see her, and it's a picture of her. She's got her guitar, and then she's got this cute little puppet that's kind of, you know those monkeys that have the super long arms on them they have for puppets?
Yeah.
They got a picture of her little puppet. He's got glasses on and everything. He's got this big, almost like, he kind of almost looks like an Ernie. From Sesame Street. Yeah, if Ernie were a long armed, spider monkey. There we go. My daughter Katie and I were talking about that because she said that she thinks she laughs like Ernie, and then she said, "How does Bert laugh?" And I'm like, "How does Bert laugh?" I had to think about it, And he was kind of like,
Yeah, he does.
We were thinking about that, trying to rack our brains. And, it took me a few minutes because I remember being young, and right when I started kindergarten, they had Sesame Street premiered, and I could come home at lunchtime and watch Sesame Street while I was having my lunch. And, oh, my gosh, that was, the best thing in the whole wide world. I love that. Made me feel special, and I got lunch. I got this, come home, and my mom made me this wonderful lunch, and I got to watch Sesame Street at the same time. So life is good, man. That's hey, you just got the top entertainment going on there, and then you get to have a lunch on top of it that's delicious. Woo! That's a good time.
My favorite with the Muppets was the Muppet Show that they would have on in the evenings where it looked like they were in a theater with the old men up in the balcony.
Yeah. They actually have, at California Adventure, they have a Muppet Show you can go to. And it's got quite a few of the characters and stuff like that. A lot of it's just... pre-screen, pre-film screen presentations that they deal with it, but occasionally the certain Muppets will pop out of the walls and stuff like that and add to the program. So it's pretty cute.
Yeah. My favorite guys. Who are your favorite guys?
Out of the Muppet Show? I like Ralph. And Ralph, of course, was Jim Henson's sidekick. When he first started on, I think he was on, I don't know why, but I want to say he was on Ed Sullivan. And he was super young. He had Ralph. Ralph would play the guitar. Ralph would play the piano, and he was doing his stuff with Ralph and stuff like that. And I like Animal with the drummer.
Yeah. My favorites were the Animal and the Swedish Chef.
Yeah. Well, that's always good. Every once in a while we have to break into Swedish just because we don't know what else to say.
And then the old man, the old man up in the balcony.
Uh-huh.
They came in.
See, that's interesting because my daughter Katie, my younger daughter Katie, she just this scared the heck out of her. She's like, oh, I don't like those guys. They're creepy. I said, yeah, they are kind of creepy if you're, you know, depending. You know how it is when you're little and you just got these older people in your life that all they do is grump around and go, you know, the things they laugh at are pretty darn funny. Yeah, yeah.
I'm coming at it from that place, yes. I was looking at it from the sardonic humor.
Yeah, but you just look at him at these older guys that just, you know, a bunch of grouches. And
it was an age thing.
It's kind of like, you know, I always love the analogies when you have conversations where you're sitting around asking people their favorite characters, especially Sesame, whether it be like Sesame Street or the Disney characters and stuff. It's so telling about how people are and who they are, depending on what they like and what they prefer. You can really see a lot about a person. So it's kind of like the Tao of Pooh and things like that, you know, depending on what people can resonate when it comes to characteristics and things like that. So we get into that whole psychological level of character. That's very, very interesting and stuff. So if we all went around wearing a T-shirt of our favorite character, boy, that would make life a lot easier. We'd know how to interact with people.
So I want to know more about your flower wisdom.
Want to know about my flower wisdom. Well, for people who haven't been introduced to flower wisdom is it's a teaching, a philosophy that I've been developing probably for the last 20 years. And it's based on, I have a flower shop called Flowers for You in Riverside, California. And through just my spiritual growth and development and expansion, I've really been shown by spirit just having the gift of connecting to the spirits of flowers, the spirits of nature, and having that wisdom coming through. And it's been an evolvement just as I've grown in awareness through my very personal practices, through meditation and movement and things like that. I've been able to connect with that. So it gets into spiritual, the sacred geometry of the flowers, looking at the color, the shape, getting into just basic geometrics of circles and triangles, squares, and how that interacts with us on a soul level, how that interacts with us on just our cellular level and the way that we remember things. And actually from the basics of the flower wisdom, which is connecting to a flower, you can actually put different flowers together, and each flower has its own personality, just like we do. How we put that together says something about you, just like with characters, we'd be at Disney or whatever, that basically those personality traits come out with flowers. And then I had the wonderful opportunity once to, I was doing a massage therapist workshop, and one of my friends asked me to come in. This is kind of a let's break up the monotony of, like, we've been lecturing on this and that, you know, kind of just kind of a fun thing to do as a break, bring in some flowers and have people just make some flower arrangements. And when I was assisting with that, I realized that when people were putting the flower bouquets together, I got messages from it, and the way they put it together says something about you, and then what you choose and how you, you know, what you put into the vase says something about you. So I started reading those bouquets from the different things that I had learned and just kind of understood. Some of it was just very, on a very impromptu way that it went together, and I started just interpreting these bouquets, and people were looking at me like, you know, how do you know me so well? So, and I was like, well, this is what you're saying from your different things that you've put together and how you put it together. And so it's a really fun, wonderful way of just coming very connected to Mother Earth, connected to our gardens, our inner gardens, intimate gardens that we have within ourselves, and just to, you know, helping people to come from a very nature and very natural place of being able to connect to themselves through flowers.
So when you look at this, I had done some studies. I was very interested in the Victorian period, when they would give posies, initially giving the gift of a flower or carrying a posy, it started back before people were bathing, so that people would not smell the odors that were emitting from their bodies. And then they had assigned or developed, I don't quite know how they came about it, but they assigned, I'll just say assigned for now, they gave meanings to the different flowers. And some of those meanings, you know, they've kind of withstood the test of time. Are you going to be incorporating any of that information into your process?
Actually, what the Elizabethan language was something that really intrigued me at the beginning, because I, with being a florist, I used to have guys come in and they'll say, well, what does, you know, this flower mean? What does that flower mean? And I really didn't know at a certain level. And I really just kind of just was ravenous about the way that I got into that whole Elizabethan time period for the chivalry and the way that things were being communicated and then the way it was put together. And it really goes back almost to Egyptian times if you want to go back to the true studying of flower messaging and having it be utilized. You know, it really goes back to symbology and the way that people will utilize, you know, just a flower for different kinds of meanings and things like that. And we just intuitively know when we have one flower over another that it's saying something to us on a certain level. And part of it's just experiential because we're having a certain flower at a different experience. But I think a lot of it, too, is just the geometric, you know, symbols, like a spiraling rose and the kind of growth and what that does for us on an energetic level as opposed to, say, a daisy or a sunflower. We definitely have just a different sense of something because part of it's the colors and part of it's the way that it's talking to us on a different level. I know with the Elizabethan languages, it was basically started with a woman who was, you know, more in a royalty position, and she was somebody who they were very much into proper etiquette, proper, you know, learning of the charm schools and things like that. People were being taught how to do things. And then that basically from that, one of the ladies, I wish I could remember her name. I didn't have that in front of me. But she put a book together that basically had all the different meanings and symbols and things like that about it. And that's basically how a lot of the stuff in the Elizabethan times got started. It was from her book of just interpreting and giving things names. You know, I think I was talking to Marvine today, and Marvine's been on the show before. And she was sharing about that, about, you know, everything came from somebody deciding to write it down after it had been going through, you know, generations of people saying, well, this is this and this is that. Once it got into written word, people just thought that's the way it always was because it was our way of communicating and expressing something. So that's part of it, too, because I really think flower wisdom comes from just very cellular level of us remembering and connecting on a different level. Just like color, we know on a certain level colors mean something to us, and you know, we can learn that, you know, through just being textile and seeing how it affects us on a certain level. But yeah, there's things that we know from nature and having it be healthy or not healthy to for us depending on what we look at. We know that, you know, something on a just very a primal level that, you know, something would be safe as opposed to not being safe depending on what it looked like for us. So it's just like with our sight and smell and touch, we can tell a lot about, you know, what's good for us and what's not good for us on a good level. So it's, you know, it sounds like, oh, flower wisdom, what a cute little, quaint little thing, but there's just so much to it. And it's interesting because I've actually done workshops where people have had it where we've brought flowers together and we've had people make their own little bouquets. And then say you have like a group that would be working in an office together, everybody participates in one bouquet. And the way that they work as a team to put something together is so telling about themselves, so telling about the way that they work on a regular basis with each other and how they can learn to be able to do it in a different way that actually will enhance the experience for everybody.
Are you still there? Hello?